Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back. Praising God in a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Jesus is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Pray with me, friends. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that this word that's been read and the word that will be proclaimed will be pleasing unto you, life-changing unto us, so that we might be life-changing for others. Use this time, God, for it is yours and yours alone. In Jesus' name, amen. I was a child of the 80s. The 1980s. I was born in 1977, and so the 80s were my era. I remember Huey Lewis and the News. "It's hip to be square." I took that to heart. I remember Back to the Future. When that movie came out, that was my favorite movie. I remember President Reagan. I remember VCRs, when VCRs first came out. That was amazing. You didn't have to watch television as it happened. You could record it and watch it later. Revolutionary. I never thought of such a thing. And Nintendo came out. And you could, I remember going to Miss Lucas's house. She was my piano teacher. And I liked going there because after the piano lesson, as you waited for your mom to pick you up, you got to play Super Mario Brothers. Oh, I remember that the very first hole in the game I would fall into every single time. I remember Keep the Torch Lit. Anybody else remember Keep the Torch Lit, the Statue of Liberty? It was her 100th anniversary, and I remember a scaffold being built around the Statue of Liberty, and they power washed her. She stayed green, and Keep the Torch Lit. What a great thing. It took me a while to realize that that thing was made of metal and it was never going out. But what a great saying. Keep the torch lit. I also remember other things about the 80s. I remember the Challenger explosion. I remember it vividly. Before there was a 9/11, the thing that unified us 80s kids was the Challenger explosion. I remember the words of comfort that were offered to those families. They slipped the surly bonds of earth to touch the face of God. Powerful. I also remember a big disease with a little name. Something was quietly killing the gay community. In fact, they called it the gay cancer because it seemed to only affect those who were in the gay community. It was a great stigma, wasn't there, if you remember those days, associated with acquired immune deficiency syndrome. They didn't quite know what it was. Doctors couldn't figure out why these men were dying. Now, some people said, well, they deserve it because of their lifestyle. God is striking them down. God is punishing them for their actions. And that thinking delayed research for a while, didn't it? It's only bothering those people. It's not bothering us, and so let them die. decrease the surplus population. Why bother? They aren't worth the time, and they certainly aren't worth the money. And there was a fear associated with that disease. If you remember the 80s, you remember seeing pictures on the television of those men in hospital rooms completely covered by plastic around their bed so that no one would touch them. It was a fear. If I touch them, I might get what they have. Didn't quite understand what was happening, but we knew it was something big. It was something dangerous, and it was killing them. A lot of people saw that as a double curse. Not only are they sick with an incurable, deadly disease, but they're gay, and that's even worse. But then, women started to get it. And then I remember when Ryan White was diagnosed with AIDS. Remember him? He was this teenage kid, a little older than me at the time, and I remember him getting that disease. And people began to change. He didn't do anything to get that disease. All he did was get a blood transfusion. The blood transfusion killed him. We have this human belief that bad things happen to bad people, and good things happen to good people. That's nowhere in here. That's Hinduism. That's karma. If you're bad, something bad will happen to you. If you're good, something good will happen to you. That's not our belief. That's not the Christian belief. What's the Christian belief? Good news for bad people. Good news, good things for bad people. Even those who we don't like to touch. Even those that we would keep away from ourselves. The gospel is good news for those that we would kick to the curb, kick outside of our safe and comfortable spaces. We humans have a way of excluding those most vulnerable to the outskirts, don't we? To the margins. Think of the vast majority of our homeless. Most of them are mentally ill. And because we didn't quite know how to treat them, we just let them go. And they go and they become homeless. Think of those that we expel from polite society. We do tend to make outcasts of those who don't fit in, the mentally ill, the orphaned, the disabled, drug addicts, even the old, the sick, Presbyterians. Wait. It's getting a little heavy. We had to lighten it up. If we can't figure out what's wrong with you, then we cast you out. And our scripture gives us an example, this group of people who were sick, who were cast out. In fact, they were to shout when someone came near, "Unclean! Unclean!" So that anyone who even thought about getting close would hear those words and know, "Stay away. Stay away. Unclean! Unclean." And in our story today, our Jesus encounters this man who's not only a leper, but a Samaritan. And Samaritans were even more outcast than the lepers were. Don't associate with them. They're foreigners. They don't worship our God the way that we need to, the way that our law says to. So kick them out. So this man who Jesus encounters is an outcast among the outcasts. In fact, the only thing that he had in common with these other nine was the fact that he was sick. Jesus brings healing to those 10 men. They don't shout, "Unclean, unclean." They shout, "Have mercy. Have mercy on us. We are sick." and we know that you can bring healing. Jesus heals them. Just go. Show yourselves to the priests, which were the doctors of the day. Go show yourselves to them, and you'll be clean. And only one comes back, thanking Jesus. And what does Jesus say? Where are the others? Weren't there 10 of you? And now there's only one who came back? What happened to the other 9? We share in Jesus' question. What happened to them? Could be that this outcast among the outcasts, as soon as there was no longer that sickness to bind those men together, did what people in polite society do. We're all healed now. We're good. And now we notice that this guy is a foreigner. And so now the outcasts have outcast one of their own. We don't like bullies, but we like to bully. We like to be the ones who are doing the bullying. And as soon as it seems that we humans get any kind of power, we use it to punish or hurt the people around us. Those who he had been outcast with, as soon as they were no longer sick, they were no longer outcasts. But this man still was. They were able to rejoin polite society, able once more to see themselves as whole and clean, and to see this man who had been in their company as the outsider. And the bullied became the bullies. My guess is that this man came back to Jesus because he had nowhere else to go. He returned to the one person who didn't see him as a sinner, as an outcast, or as a victim. Jesus, maybe for the first time in this man's life, saw him as a person in need of God's grace. Who do we exclude? We who are in polite society, who do we cast to the margins? Who isn't welcome? Who isn't welcome in our society, in our church, in our home? Who isn't welcome in our nation? Who isn't even welcome on our side of the tracks in the town that we live in? Jesus doesn't push them away. Jesus draws them closer to himself. He welcomes them. He loves them, even dies for them. So while we may see a homeless person or a drug addict, we may see a victim of abuse or an orphan, we may see a foreigner or a freak, we may see a gay person with HIV, who does God see? Who does God see? Who does Jesus see? Person, first and foremost. And not only a person, but one of infinite sacred worth. And we know that Jesus sees them as ones who are of infinite sacred worth because he gave his life for them. A person of significance. Someone worth dying for. Someone worth the cross. Who does God see? Who do we see? God loves you. So do I. Amen.